Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is the Old Testament lesson of the day, found in Isaiah 66. And I, because of what they have planned and done, am about to come and gather the people of all nations and languages, and they will come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those who survive to the nations, to Tarshish, to the Libyans and Lydians, famous as archers, to Tubal and Greece, and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations. And they will bring all your people from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord, on horses, in chariots and wagons, and on mules and camels, says the Lord. They will bring them in, as the Israelites bring their grain offerings to the temple of the Lord in ceremonially clean vessels. And I will select some of them also to be priests and Levites, says the Lord. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. And they will go out and look on the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. The worms that eat them will not die, the fire that burns them will not be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind. This is our text. Your people of God, this is a big boy prophecy. The Apostle Peter urged us to always love the milk of the Scriptures, to always love those simple passages. Love them and never grow tired of hearing them. Hold them dear and review them often. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Never tire of hearing that. But the writer to the Hebrews also tells us that we need to mature in our faith, to not only partake of the milk of the Scriptures, the easy passages, but also dig our teeth into the meat, into the difficult passages of Scripture. Like this. This is the meat. This is difficult. So let us chew on it for a while. The reason this is so hard is all the pronouns, the theys and the thems, and I tried to underline them for you in your bulletin on the back cover to help. We begin in verse 18. The first they is apostate Israel. That's our term for the Israelites of Isaiah's day, who turned their back on the Lord and ran after other gods. They rejected the Lord and his law and his promises, and they thought that they would never have to face any punishment because of who their fathers were. The second they in verse 18, and they will come and see my glory, is the nations. That is the Gentiles who are converted to the true faith. Those people who had no law of God, had no promises of a Savior. They would come and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So right away in the first verse of our text, we have two different theys. And the idea is that since Israel so thoroughly turned their back on the Lord, that the Lord would take his saving name out to all those who were not Israel and would offer salvation to every soul in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, I will set a sign among them. The them is the nations, the converted Gentiles again. That's you. You are people who are not descended from Abraham, and yet you get all the benefits of Abraham because you share the same faith as Abraham. The sign that is set among them, set among you, is of course the cross. The cross is God's sign to us that all of our sins are forgiven and that our souls are saved. The those in verse 19 of those who survive are the few faithful Israelites, like the Apostle Paul. In fact, Isaiah 66:19 is a direct prophecy of Paul and those with him who would take the saving name of Jesus to the Greeks and out to the islands of the Mediterranean Sea and save many souls in the name of the Son of God. Verse 20's they, and they will bring all your people, is now the converted Gentiles. Your people refers to the future relatives of the Israelites of Isaiah's time. Things had become so backwards that instead of Israelites converting Gentiles to believe in the true God, in the future, the Gentiles would have to convert the Israelites and show them the God that they had rejected, that they could once again have and find salvation in His name. Which brings us to the hardest line of this text. In verse 20, we can now make some sense out of it. When it says, they will bring them. If you wrote that sentence in a paper for school, you would get that paper back with a big red circle around it saying, this is way too vague. But because it's written in Scripture, the fault of misunderstanding is ours, not in the Holy Writer. But we can figure it out. They are the future believing Gentiles again. That's you. And the them are the restored of the apostate Israelites. They will bring them. Our job is to show the Jews and the world what a wonderful God we have in our Savior. And so somehow bring them back to see the light of salvation in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 21, the Lord says that He would take some of them, that is the future believing Gentiles, and make them priests and Levites, church workers who have the privilege of proclaiming this salvation in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's me. That's Him. We have this privilege of proclaiming this saving name. The last them in this prophecy then is found in the last verse, down in verse 24, which is clearly a prophecy of hell. The them in this verse, as the Lord even explains, are those who rebelled against me. That is, people with no love or no time for the Lord. As they turn their back on God, so God will turn His back on them. Come the last day, in the final judgment, when there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, as many of the parables of Jesus also tell us. That's our text. That's all the these, theys, and thems. And what's it all about? Well, it's all about Jesus, of course. Jesus is the Lord, holding His arms open for sinners to come back to Him. Sinners like this apostate Israelites, these hardened sinners who turned their back on the Lord of love, the Lord of Abraham, the only God of salvation. They walked away from that salvation and went to worship other gods. Gods they had not known in the past. They worshiped them in the most horrible ways, by sacrificing their children, by engaging with the temple prostitutes, This is Old Testament Israel, who turned Solomon's beautiful temple into an actual garbage dump. This is Israel, whom Isaiah says in just the verse preceding our text, that actually ate rats. Now, why in the world would they eat rats? Rat was an unclean animal. In the Old Testament, the Jews were forbidden for eating rats. But do we really need a law that says don't eat rats? You have to eat a rat on purpose. You have to eat a rat on a dare. Or you eat a rat to show your dedication to the gods. And that's what the Israelites were doing. They rejected the true Lord and his gift of beef to them. And they chose to eat these disgusting creatures to show their loyalty to the gross Canaanite gods. It just goes to show once again that people will do anything as long as it is forbidden in Scripture. This world's mantra is today and has always been anything but Jesus. Part of Isaiah's job was to come to the Israelites and tell them that the Babylonians were coming in a few years and that they would completely crush them. And we can understand that they deserved every bit of it. But Isaiah also says in our text that there would be some who survived. There would be some who were captured by the Babylonians and taken off into captivity for 70 years. And after that 70 years of captivity, their families would be allowed to return to the promised land after being properly humbled and driven to repentance. And that remnant then, those survivors, would keep the nation of Israel going until Christ was born, 500 years later, a Messiah, the Savior, who did not come to restore the nation of Israel again to prominence in the world, but a Savior who would come to save souls, the souls of everyone who would believe on him. He would be a Savior, not to make his followers' lives easy, but a Savior who would give us hope, who would make us long for, to reach out for, and finally enjoy a perfect life in the new heavens and the new earth that the Lord will make for those who love him. And when Jesus had won this salvation, and when he had given the world his sign of the cross by which to be saved, he then sent his followers out into the world to save the Gentile nations. And that's where we come in. We are not those doomed to Gehenna here, the land of worms and suffering and fire. We are those who love the Lord. We are those who bow down in worship before him. We are those who have this privilege that Isaiah talks about, of bringing in new believers. Bring in new believers, whether they be your neighbors or your children. Bring them to the Lord as the Lord invites you to. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to this paradise that we so desire. Keep your bulletins, please. Read this over later on in the day, and then do it a third time. Sit and chew on this for a while. The Lord has given us an absolute wonder in his holy word. He has given us plenty to eat, both milk and meat. Let no one ever say that they know all this stuff. There is plenty for us to learn yet. Amen.